Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10 a.m. service on Sunday, February 25th, 2018.
First reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 18. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. And then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Unfailing love.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luther writes, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit is the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies me. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we believe and teach. This is what we confess. The Holy Spirit's work among us is a biblical doctrine. It is a faithful doctrine that gives the glory to God, all the glory to God, in matters of faith and salvation. We take no credit for our faith. It's not something we did or we do in order to keep our end of the bargain with God. And we didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came and comes to us. Salvation is not quid pro quo. As in God does his part and we do ours, and together we work it out. That's false doctrine, because it is completely contrary to the Word of God. And our doctrine recognizes faith for what it is, a free and unmerited gift from God to us. Through the working of the Holy Spirit and his Word, he breathes life into our lifeless, unbelieving course, creating, sustaining, and strengthening us in his gift of saving faith. The faith that God creates in us enables us to accept God at his Word and to hold on to what God himself has already done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. All this is true. And yet, how often have we tried to take credit for the wisdom and working of God in our lives? And how often have we treated God like a genie in a lamp or a waiter in a restaurant who is there to provide us with what we want when we want it? Now, perhaps some may take offense at that. Perhaps you're wondering what I mean by that. Well, I want you to think about how you view and how you treat prayer. It might seem a superfluous question, but what is prayer? Prayer is a good thing. It is a very good thing. And how good? God himself commands it of us. Jesus says, when you pray, pray this. St. Paul adds, pray without ceasing. And so, I will put you to the test. Do you pray? I'm not talking about here, in your homes, in your lives, in your workplaces, in your daily journey with the Lord. Do you pray regularly? If not, why not? You believe in God. You believe that God is good. Then why not do what God commands of you for his good and yours? Now, this morning, we're going to assume that everyone here is faithful in prayer. How do you pray? Do you present your wishes and demands to God as if he is your personal genie or waiter? Hey, God, over here. I'm in a jam. Give me a hand. This is what I want. This is what I need. People boast about the power of prayer when something they've prayed for goes as planned, almost as if they had a hand in making it happen. Our prayers made that cancer go into remission. Didn't I tell you about the power of our prayers? And what about when you pray for good things that don't come to pass? You prayed for remission, but the cancer got aggressive. It became inoperable, and that loved one died. The position you held for so many years was eliminated, and you went bankrupt. And then your home was repossessed. And after that, your marriage failed. Your child never really got the help he needed. And just look at what happened to him. And you prayed without ceasing, but the situation kept getting worse. Does that mean your prayers were off in some way? Didn't you pray passionately enough to get a little bit of God action in your lives? And then if someone come along and told you, you know, you just have to have more faith. You have to pray more. I'll go home and get my prayer book, and we'll pray more boldly, and we'll get loud, and God will hear us. Watch and see. We'll move God into action. Really. Let's go back to our gospel text for today. An evil spirit possessed a young boy. The apostles tried to cast him out, but they couldn't. The father of the young boy turns to Jesus in his desperation. Teacher, I tried everything, even your own disciples. None of it worked. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And of course, we know that a frustrated Jesus answers, if I can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And it's really no wonder Jesus said, how long shall I put up with you, you faithless generation? Whoa, faithless. Boy, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Isn't it? It's really not, is it? Where is the faith in saying to Jesus, if you can? Does Jesus have to prove himself? What the Father said to Jesus on that day is no different than what the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Do this. If you are who you really claim to be, turn those stones into bread. Jump off the temple. I want to see the angels catch you. Come down from that cross and save yourself. Heal my son. Help me, if you can. A waiter, where's my order? Oh, genie, grant me my wish. Now, perhaps we can cut that worried father just a little bit of slack. But what about Jesus' disciples? If I may say so, what a crew. Jesus gave them power and authority to heal. And then they let it go to their heads. Jesus sends them out on that short-term mission. And they enjoy a little bit of success. They can't wait to tell Jesus all about it. And what does Jesus tell them? Don't let it go to your heads. If you want to rejoice, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Those men spent 3 years with the Lord. Kind of makes you wonder if they were ever listening. Why couldn't they drive out that evil spirit? Were their prayers to God lacking in some way? Jesus, what did we do wrong? Why could we not cast that demon out? And Jesus responds with words that still vex and trouble people to this very day. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Huh? What kind of prayer is Jesus talking about? As I thought about it, I thought about people who come to me and ask me to pray them through some difficult time in their lives. Suffice to say, I'm pleased to do that. But then, when I ask them if we can pray for them as a church, they get a little uneasy and they often decline. They don't want it known. And sometimes I get the distinct impression that nothing will do other than the prayer of a professional, as if the prayer of a pastor is more holy or powerful, or if I have some inside track to God that other people don't have. I'll let you in on something, my friends, that's not true. And it's also ridiculous. Let me ask you this. What was the first thing you were taught in the catechism? I really should pick out a confirmand today, but I'm not going to put him on the spot like that. I was looking at Preston there, but don't worry, Preston. The first thing, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. My friends, that's where the power of prayer lies. It's not in us. Prayer is not an instrument that we use to manipulate God into doing what we want. The power in prayer is found in the God in whom we pray, and not in the one who does the praying. Holy Scripture shows us that prayer expresses that blessed poverty of faith. which cries out to and takes hold of God, trusting that He knows what He is doing and that He will do what is best. That's why we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not our will, but God's. God's alone and always God's. Jesus prayed those words in the Garden of Gethsemane just hours before He was crucified. Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. But not my will, Thy will be done. So what do you think? Did God the Father answer Jesus' prayer? You bet He did. And He did it for our good. And then Jesus went willingly to the cross, knowing and trusting that His Father's plan of salvation was the one and only right way. Jesus prayed, and then Jesus had faithfully accepted His Father's will and gave the world the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. My friends, God loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you. God loves you so much that He sent His Son to fight and to conquer, to take sin and hell and devil to the mat, and to put them to death. And Jesus was forsaken, forgotten by the Father, so that you would never have to be. In Christ and because of Christ, the gospel proclamation spoken from the cross fills this church today. And it sounds throughout eternity, making it clear that it is finished once and for all. I say it so often, I'll say it once again. This is what we are to cling to. We hold fast to the life-giving, life-sustaining cross of Jesus Christ. We hold fast to Him who gave Himself as sacrifice as for us. We hold fast to God Almighty in the flesh, who comes to us here this very day to give Himself to us, to feed us and to nourish us in His life-giving body and blood. You know, neither our faith nor our prayers make this sacrament what it is. Neither your faith nor your prayers put Jesus here at this table. Nor do your doubts or unbelief prevent Him from being here. Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood." And it is so because Jesus says so. And it is possible because Jesus says it is. That's faith. Faith simply takes Christ at His word. We trust Him. He's God. He knows what He's doing. My prayer for you this day and every day is that you hold fast to Christ and all that He has done and continues to do, not only for you, but in you and through you. If you remember nothing else today, remember that. Because, my friends, I cannot make you believe. I can't make you repentant or faithful or thankful. All I can do is cry out to God for you and trust that He knows what He's doing and that He's working all things for the good of those who love Him. My dear family in Christ, I pray that you do the same. I pray that you pray without ceasing, ever trusting and holding tightly to God, that His will might be done through you and not in spite of you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May this be your prayer today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.